Well, joining me today is Ashley McMartin. She is a clinical counselor at Sanford Health of Bemidji, specializing in treating trauma and crisis response services at Sanford. Ashley, first of all, thank you for taking the time today. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely, Kev. I'm glad to be here this morning.
Well, obviously, we're in a very, very weird state of our lives that I don't think any of us ever dreamed about. Is there anything you're seeing with people you're dealing with that seems to be a common denominator right now?
Yeah, so I have a kind of a unique role at Sanford because I see a couple clients still, probably a handful of people, and then interact with people through crisis. And then I'm also a clinical manager, so I have supervisors under me, and then I have teams underneath them. And so I kind of see a full spectrum of individuals in terms of responses, from those that are educated in the behavioral health field and then those that are coming in for services. And so I think probably the biggest thing that I see across the board is kind of a prolonged stress exposure experience for people. And so whether you are just trying to survive it as a human being or whether you're in the behavioral health field, it seems like it just infiltrates every aspect of life. And that is a little bit, I think, different or unique than some of the other situations that we may have been through that have been considered kind of community-based, catastrophic, or traumatic. Like I think of the flood in Grand Forks or some of the different events around our nation. There's usually kind of a start point and an end point, and there's ways we can have breaks in there and look away from it for a little while. And this is kind of goes across every avenue of life, right? So as a parent, I might be deployed to work from home, but now not only am I not going to the office to work, I'm also trying to distance teach my children. And my kids are home all the time, so they're not going to school and getting their break, and I'm not getting necessarily a break from them. And I'm going to the grocery store, and I'm seeing marks on the floor of the grocery store to stand 6 feet away from people, and I'm seeing people in masks, and I'm going to the bank, and the lobby of the bank isn't open, so I go through the drive-thru instead, and there's really no space necessarily to look away from this, and I think that is just kind of creating this prolonged stress exposure experience for people.
I know that, you know, we just had the stay-at-home order extended, and it's not the first time something like that's happened, but I feel like we're all in this marathon, and we knew it was going to be a long race, but we're all of a sudden being told over the intercom, by the way, it's now 40 miles. You know,
yeah.
How do you get through that?
Yeah. I think one of the kind of important things is the mentality that we go into it. Like you mentioned, the idea of a marathon and not a sprint. You know, if we went into this last 2 weeks of kind of stay at home with the idea that, okay, at the end of this, we're done. It's done. Then this point of the kind of the race is probably really overwhelming, and it might just be time to kind of take a step back and check in with ourselves. The other part is looking for the opportunity in this. And I know that's really hard when there are people that are maybe laid off and aren't able to work, and paying bills is difficult, but the chance to maybe do some of those things that you always talked about doing but never really did, right? Like, is there that back closet in your house or an entire room in your house that you've always said, like, well, you know, on a rainy day, I'll get to that. You know, this is a great opportunity to do some of those things. And you might be cleaning stuff out and you know, able to donate or give some stuff away. And that might be a way that you're kind of extending your blessing to someone else, even though it might not seem like it's that big of a deal. The other opportunity is, you know, social distancing is a little bit easier to do in out in nature. And so really taking some time, and unfortunately this week isn't, the weather is kind of starting to get a little bit colder, but taking the opportunity to get outside, to go for a walk, to get out the bikes, that fresh air, that movement, especially when we are being told to stay at home, literally home, we can really feel like the walls are kind of closing in. So getting outside where there's lots of air, there's lots of space to move, even if it's just to sit outside and listen to the birds for 5 minutes, but really challenging yourself to find new ways of being in this time, as difficult as that might be.
If ever we needed an early spring, this is the year.
Yeah. We got a little break, right? The last 2 weeks have been relatively nice. But there's plenty of stuff, like, if you have access to the internet, there's plenty of, like, YouTube videos that you can explore in terms of even moving within inside of your apartment, in terms of, you know, yoga or just simple at-home exercises. And it doesn't take a lot of different, excuse me, equipment, but just the idea of, I want to try something new.
Yeah. So my wife is immunocompromised, so she's at home all the time. I at least get to go to the store. I at least get to go over to my parents' house, but I, you know, can't be there very long. And every now and then I get to see my daughter and grandson, but again, not very long, just to try to keep things as safe as possible. But at least I get out. For somebody like that, it's really tough on her. She really is going stir crazy right now.
Right, I would imagine so. And so finding those ways that she can, that she feels grounded in things, it might be that she is, you know, taking time to journal about this experience. So, you know, in 6 months, hopefully when we're coming to the other side of it, she can look back and recognize how much she's maybe grown through this, even though it's difficult and uncomfortable. I was speaking with a supervisor the other day, and one of the things that we just decided is that we're going to be uncomfortable across the board. This is a new thing that no one's ever experienced, and when we have new things and we have to adjust our lifestyle, there's discomfort that comes in that. And so if we can somehow find a way to embrace that, as difficult as it is, and in embracing it might just even be acknowledging that I'm uncomfortable and this kind of sucks, and if we can decide on that and agree, okay, we have a starting spot.
I on the other hand, I am at work, but I am in my very own studio all the time. No more bouncing back and forth between studios. We're all in our own studio. And then I'm in my office, and there's just very few people here. But it's just driving me absolutely bonkers. I don't see people face to face. Like right now, I'm doing this on the phone. Oftentimes, I'd have people in the studio. At least I'm talking to you, but it just seems weird.
Yeah, it's a different world right now. And I know even amongst our team, you know, we do a lot of Skype meetings now instead of in-person meetings. And this week I told people, all right, like, we need to turn the cameras on. Like, no more just seeing your little picture face pop up. Like, I need to see your eyes. I need to see your face. I need to see how you're responding to what's going on. Because over the phone and you know, when we're just hearing each other's voices, sometimes it's easy to kind of mask what's going on. It's a little bit different to be able to actually see someone via the video and lay eyes on them a little bit more. But yeah, I think we as a community, it's interesting to watch things happen within the community. There's a lot of really neat stories out there of people coming together. And hopefully after this experience, our community will start to recognize the importance of connection and the importance of finding our similarities versus our differences. Oh. And hopefully we'll see that on the other side of this, because a lot of, I would say before this, there was a large ability, and I'm absolutely guilty of it, to see how people are different or how the world can be kind of be scary. But when we experience a commonly shared stressor, it will tend to bring us closer, because now we have that shared experience. We can say, yeah, I know what that was like. Man, that was hard, wasn't it? Isn't it crazy to think that we got over that and we came together afterwards? And so as much as it's hard to weather the storm, I'm also very intrigued and excited to see what happens afterwards.
One of the things that I, you know, by being busy, by being a communicator, considered an essential employee, and same thing for all the people on the front lines, in the medical field, at the grocery stores, whatever, we can stay busy. But when you have a few minutes to sit, you can just get eaten alive with anxiety, wondering, okay, when this is all over, and they start looking at the balance sheet. Will I still have a job? People who are on unemployment right now, will mine come back? I mean, you could end up in the fetal position in a real hurry if you let that, if you think about that too much. How do you get your mind out of that spiral?
Yeah, so I conceptualize anxiety as any moment being ahead of this time. So right here in this moment, we're talking, and anxiety can be where my brain starts to project out 5 seconds or 5 minutes or 5 years from now. And so when I notice myself start to go to those future places, it means that I'm missing and escaping the current present moment. And so I try to engage in kind of, sometimes it's mental kind of tasks or coping skills that bring myself back down to the present moment, right? So as I start to eke out there 5 years from now or you know, 5 months from now, I'll remind myself that we're not there and kind of sometimes fact check some of those pieces of things, right? Like how many times have I, maybe my balance sheet has been a little off and we've just figured out a way to make it work. You know, so far I'm 100% or, you know, we problem solve this way. Sometimes it's a matter of getting back into, you know, anxiety lots of times is a thought process in our head. And so sometimes it's about bringing myself back into my body. And so it'll be a matter of kind of checking in with my senses and, well, what am I seeing here in this moment? You know, what are 5 things that I can look around and see that are the color green? And what are some different smells or scents that I can take in right now? What am I hearing? And those different things, are our senses don't take in information from the future. Our senses take in information in this present moment. So that's a really great way to stay grounded as well, is to kind of check in with those senses. Those different things are going to come up. And so figuring out a way and working through either with your, you know, maybe with whoever else is in your household, or tapping into some of those community resources that are out there right now as well, to learn about what options people do have if those are different stressors. Also, you know, as that anxiety grows, I always tell people, I always want to pitch, you know, we have a 24-hour crisis line. And if people don't have that number, it's 1-800-422-0045. We are staffed 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and obviously specialize in mental health. But a mental health crisis isn't just, you know, I'm feeling like I want to hurt myself or hurt someone else. It is also, you know, I can't catch my breath. I wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning and I have this excruciating chest pain, and I know that I'm healthy and it's not heart related. It's anxiety. And so being able to talk to someone in that moment and work through some of those things, or possibly even just give you resources, could be really helpful.
I was just going to ask you, obviously you're preferring not to do anything face-to-face right now. So what are the ways we can get your help besides what you just mentioned? Is there a lot of tele-counseling going on right now?
Yeah, so a majority of the service providers in our region have moved to telehealth. I believe they still are having someone in office to be able to answer phone calls and set up the referral process. For some people, telehealth might be an entryway into services. Like maybe they have been hesitant. I don't want to go in person. I'm nervous about other people that I might see. And so telehealth can offer some advantages in the sense of it might ease someone that's never had services into the process, and they only have to see that one clinician. They don't have to walk into the building and see a lot of other people or go through that experience. In regards to Sanford Behavioral Health, at this point, we have tried to connect with every client and figure out what means they would like to meet, what they feel most comfortable with. And so we have a span of individuals that say, I still want to meet face-to-face, and others that say, I'd like a telephone call, and another group that has said, you know, I'd like to explore the kind of video visits idea. And so we match our service type based on kind of client-centered approach. So there is still some face-to-face interactions going on. Our crisis team triages the best that we can. We ask some kind of qualifying questions that would indicate, you know, whether someone's showing symptoms of COVID-19 or been exposed to, and then we kind of tailor our services off that to make sure that we're staying safe and we're also keeping the community safe. But we are still going face to face with people. We also see people in the healthcare setting. So if someone presents the emergency room, let's say we'll use the chest pain example with chest pain, they clear out, they rule out any medical concerns, and the person is saying, yeah, I'd be willing to talk to mobile crisis. We go on site there. And so we see people still in the setting that they would prefer.
Okay. You know, we're talking about escaping. One of the things that is one of the areas that are probably benefiting from this are the streaming services, Netflix, Hulu, yeah. Prime. Everybody's, binging right now. But one of the things I've been hearing a lot about, Tiger King and the new season of Ozark are very, very popular with people right now. And I'm thinking those aren't exactly the feel-good movies of the year. Is that healthy to binge these darker shows right now, or is that just escapism in another way?
It would probably depend on each person individually, but speaking from kind of personal experience, I'm in the mental health field, I'm a therapist, I'm not a super emotional person myself, which there's kind of irony in that, right? And I'm willing to own that for sure. I know that historically for me, one of the ways that I am able to kind of release emotions, especially, some of those really tough emotions to demonstrate, like that sadness at times, that's a difficult emotion for me to demonstrate. I'll pop in a sad movie that I know will make me cry. Because for some reason, it's easier for me to be sad about someone else's situation maybe than what I'm going through. And so over time, I've learned that that's a way for me to cope with my own emotions, too, is to be able to kind of have that entryway into someone else's story and then be able to kind of relate it to mine. Now, whether that's going on now, I'm not sure. Some of it might just be, it's a break in the reality of things, or, their situation is a lot worse than mine. There's a lot of different ways that someone might be utilizing that resource as a way to kind of make sense of their own world.
Okay. Before we wrap it up, there was one other topic I thought was interesting. I'm curious what you mean by that. Maintaining healthy boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
Yeah. So what we might see as time goes on and as this extension of a stay at home order goes into place is the person that we were before this happened, which was realistically about 5 or 6 weeks ago, which really probably seems to people about 25 years ago, because how being exposed to kind of chronic stress is categorized within our brain and how we store memory and experience is we don't store it sequentially necessarily. We typically cluster memory by affect. And so this has been a super stressful time, and all of these memories kind of get stored in that stressful affect or anxious affect pile per se or grouping. And so our concept of time really gets skewed in that. But before this time, people may have had different roles or different hats that they wore throughout their day. So I'll just use myself for example. So I'm a mom of three young kids, so I have that hat, and I have a significant other, so I wear that hat, and I'm a therapist, so I have that hat, but I'm also a clinical manager, and I have that hat, and I'm a supervisor, and I have that hat, and then at some point I'm Ashley, just none of those things, and just myself, and I have that hat, right? Mm-hmm. And there's other hats that I might wear. I'm a daughter and a sister and all those things. But so when I moved throughout my day, there was some overlap in those roles, but when I got to work, I was typically either clinician or on a supervisor manager. Well, now when I get to work, sometimes I have to if my children, both my significant other and I, have what are considered critical jobs, and so my kids still go to daycare and the school, and so I have to be prepared for if they have a temp over 100.4, that I become mom automatically for the next week, because their rules are if they have a temperature, they can't be at school for the following week. So that role kind of bleeds into my other role a little bit more than typical. Or when I'm at home and I'm usually kind of settled at home and I'm in my mom and you know, wife role, I don't necessarily usually check my email, or I don't usually, I'm not usually engaged in work-related activities. But given the nature of what's going on, there's a lot of preparation and planning going on, and there's a lot of changes in our protocols and systems. And so I'll field calls at home at night that I don't typically do, or I'll respond to emails. And so those roles that used to have really kind of a little bit more rigid boundaries have become much more fluid, and some of the boundaries have even lifted up. And so there are conscious efforts that I make sometimes to say, nope, I'm maintaining this boundary. And there's other times where they just kind of all get mixed together. And it's when they get mixed together and I'm not aware of it that I usually start to notice feeling overwhelmed, anxious, and have to consciously separate out, okay, what am I doing right now? And how do I set these other things aside to prioritize this role that I'm doing? What I have found in talking with people, especially as people have returned home to work, is that this idea of boundaries has been really blurred, right? So they're home working, but their significant other might be home as well. And so they're having, you know, they're making lunch together, which can be a really good relationship builder, but then they don't usually do that. And who's taking care of the dishes, and who's, you know, and oh, there's our kid is here too. And so we're trying to distance learn them. And so again, all of these roles kind of get blurred, and figuring out how do I maintain healthy boundaries around, okay, so if I'm the teacher today, if I'm the distance learning teacher today, where is my space to do that in the house? And how can I close the door on that at 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock when we're done with that? And how can I move on to this other role? Where is my, if I'm working from home, where is my office at that I'm setting up temporarily, so that at the end of the day when I'm done, I can close the door on that role and then move on to the next person or part of me that I get to be? Does that make sense?
It does. It does.
Yeah.
Ashley McMartin is with Sanford Behavioral Health. Thank you so much, Ashley, for taking the time to share with us today. We really appreciate it. You did cover it before, but before we wrap it up, first step to take if we feel we need some help right now.
Yeah, so if you're already connected with services, it would be reaching out to whoever your service provider is. Most places have gone to telehealth in some capacity. If you're not connected with resources and don't know where to turn, in terms of mental health, the crisis line is always there. Again, that number, 1-800-422-0045.
Again, Ashley, thank you for taking time today. I really do appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks, Kev.